Jackson trying to escape and run for it, and he's got it more. Lamar Jackson down the sideline. Will they give it to him? They will. Touchdown, Baltimore.
And with 1:17 left to play on Wild Card Weekend, the Hayes in the Barn.
Oh my God! I wish you guys could. I wish we had a camera in here so you could see what we're doing. We're just a bunch of clowns in here.
How much fun is that?
What's up, guys? It's Jake here, currently on vacation as you're listening to this on Friday, July 9th. Just tuning in here with a little bit of an explanation for the fact that if you didn't already know, this is the second part of our mailbag discussion that I conducted last week with Kyle Barber and Mike Reed. We did a Mondo mailbag episode where we did 2 full hours, but decided to release it over 2 parts as I knew I was going to be on vacation this week. So we had Forgotten Dynasty, episode 6, the conclusion to that, come out on Monday. So if that's something that you hadn't been keeping up with, I highly recommend going back and listening to it in its entirety now. It's probably going to take you a while. It's a certainly a long mini-series, but I think it's for the better. It's a high-quality piece of content that I put out there. I'm pretty proud of it. So hope you guys enjoy it, have been enjoying it, and if not, I'd recommend going back and listening to it because it's now out in its entirety wherever you get your pods on the Baltimore Beatdown podcast feed, which you should probably already know if you're listening to this. But yeah, this is the second part of our mailbag pod, like I said, that I conducted with Kyle and Mike last week. It's going to be another full hour for you all on this Friday. I wanted to make sure I got something out for you guys while I was on vacation. Wasn't sure what the schedule was going to look like, but we got a little bit extra in the conversation there this past Friday. So hopefully it's not going to be, you know, there's not going to be some Lamar contract extension or anything that comes out over the course of the past week. If it does, I'm sure we'll have some kind of news pod up or something dicing it up between Spenny and I. But if not, and even if so, I'm going to go ahead and run this second hour of the mailbag pod for you guys. So hope you enjoy. Hope you guys had a great holiday weekend. Last weekend, I guess, when you're listening to this. And we'll talk to you again next week. Next one. Will Sean Wade replace Tavon Young by the end of the season? I think Amon Marshall might have a better chance if he can stay healthy.
Oh, forgot about him.
I don't think Sean Wade replaces Tavon Young. If Tavon Young is healthy, Tavon Young plays. That's all there's to it. That kid's so good. Tavon Young is a premier slot corner in the NFL when healthy.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of hope it doesn't get to the point where he's just an injury fill-in. But yeah, if Tavon Young's healthy, I don't think he beats out Young for sure.
Okay, so those first two came from IMJ Richter, and then Harder Swami was the most recent one. Nurk, Matabike, I should say, projected stats. What do you guys think? I'm feeling a little 7 sack season from him.
Seven?
Yeah.
That's a lot of sacks, man.
I think he's probably going to be like, I think it's going to be like him and another guy who's going to have like 9. And that's just kind of, it's going to be the majority of your sack production. I think he's primed.
That'd be pretty sick, but like, that's a big jump.
I think he's going to have like 1 big game and then he'll have like 4 otherwise.
He played only 10 games last year, started 3, had 1 sack last year. 1 sack. So I'm not saying, and he's been heralded as like a possible all-pro talent from Derek Wolfe. So like, yeah, a lot of people are gassing this guy up, and I think deservedly so. Like, I think he's another guy that's just going to stumble in and wreck it. You know, we've seen that happen multiple times throughout Ravens history, where a player just like is talented across the defensive line because this team knows how to develop players like that. But sure. I think 7 is a lot. I'd put probably like my hopeful area is probably 5 to 6. 7 would be awesome. You know, that'd be dominant, I think, for Matabike. But I think more along like 3 to 5 is my expectation for him. I think he'll have, you know, a lot more tackles for loss. I think he'll have like probably 10 tackles for loss. somewhere in the area of maybe 8 to 14 quarterback hits. Yeah, maybe a forced fumble or two.
Those numbers sound right to me. I'm definitely intrigued to see how well he does, because Campbell missed, I feel, the majority of the middle of the season too. So, and once he started revving up, like I think him next to Campbell and Wolf, and obviously Williams sprinkled in there, but those pass rusher like kind of sets with those three, Wolf, Campbell, and Madubuike, I think it'd be pretty awesome to see. So yeah, around like 5, I think would best case.
5, so, yeah, I could see like 5 or 6 is like realistically what I would say. Maybe even like between 4 and 6 is what I would say. But I think he's just gonna have like one big game where he goes off early in the season. We say, oh god, this guy's the next like whatever. And then he's like a little bit quieter down the rest of the stretch, but he has a
J.J. Watt. It's the reincarnation of J.J. Watt.
The Steelers game, because their offensive line is not looking too hot. He's going to go out first then.
Listen, I would like to see that. The real Noriega,
I would absolutely root for that.
The real Noriega. Gurley is just a trade bait for a future pick, right? LOL. Well, there is. Todd Gurley is not on their team right now, and he's not going there to be unless they have an injury. So he's on their emergency list. You know, they wanted to get their tabs. We've heard through a back channel that they do not like the medical. So, you know, it's probably not going to happen unless there's an injury.
I wrote on June 10, opinion, give Todd Gurley a chance. I wrote this article. I said that his contract was the greatest knock on Gurley, and it has nothing to do with his on-field production. He was a part of that era where the Rams just threw money at everybody trying to buy a championship,
which was sick,
and which is sick. And
shout out to Les Snead. Les Snead and his flowing, luscious blonde locks, just throwing
exactly.
Money
so just throwing money. He never played a down of any of the new contract years, but that's how it operates. Yes, I agree. His health is a huge worry. The medicals are a worry. I understand that. I respect that. But he hasn't missed like a bunch of games over his like 6-year career, by the way. Do you guys want to play the guessing game? See how many games he's missed? Do you think he's missed more or less than a full season?
I'm going to say less.
Yep.
So I'm not going to lie. I'm cheating, and I brought his up as things. So
the way you presented that,
the way I'm phrasing it,
the way
obvious,
you phrased
yeah,
it is that, yeah, yeah, like I'm he hasn't it. Missed as much yeah. time. So yeah.
He's only missed 8 games.
Yeah.
He's played in 88 of 96 games. He missed 3 in his rookie season and then either 1 or 2 games a year over the last 4 seasons in each season. So like Jimmy Smith has missed, you know, 27% of career games due to injury. And like Todd Gurley has not missed near that many. And like I love Jimmy Smith, and like when Jimmy Smith's healthy, he's one of the best players in the NFL. You know, he's one of the best corners when he was back in his prime, of course. But like overall, I'm not saying like Gurley you need to like throw a bunch of money at. I'm not saying that you need to make him the number one running back for the Baltimore Ravens. What I'm trying to say here is, you know, if this guy can show up to camp and he can battle it out, and maybe he's working on special teams, and if he can, you know, win the role over Justice Hill, he maybe deserves to have a position with the Ravens. The Ravens are the number one running team in the NFL. And somebody like Todd Gurley, who's capable of catching passes out of the backfield, maybe capable of pass blocking in the gun for Lamar on third downs and stuff, like maybe he's worth a spot. If he can't win the training camp battle, if he's not worthy of being a final 53 guy, you don't have to roster him. But I think giving him a chance kind of makes sense in my mind. I'm of the mind that like leave no stone unturned, and like this is a Ravens team battling it out for trying to go deep in the postseason, trying to hoist a Lombardi. Like if I'm not saying Todd Gurley's like the make or break on it, but like maybe he's capable of making some more plays than, you know, either Justice Hill or somebody else trying to fight for that fend for that roster spot, and he's still a younger running back.
26.
Mm-hmm. I like that you're making a case for him. Like because the consensus is that like this guy is just like totally burned out and like it's just not worth it. And like for me, like that was never like the response. Like it was never this, you know, severe like, oh god, what are they doing? Like they can't do that, because like I did see a lot of that. And it's like, guys, like it doesn't move the needle one way or the other. If they just want to bring him into camp, like there's nothing wrong with that. Mm. But for me, I think that it's just due diligence, have him on the emergency list. But Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, it's pretty insane that in 2018. I'm looking at his stats. Like, he was arguably the best running back in the league. Now we're talking about him 3 years later. And we're like asking if we want him as our third running back. It's just an insane, like, just career trajectory. Like, we've never seen like anything like a running back disappear in a matter of 2 years. But I think he's asking, he's trying to get his best offer. And I don't think the Ravens will definitely not be his best offer. If it really wants to come to the Ravens, it's because he's from Baltimore, because he's not going to get the most money from here. And best case, he's the third running back. I mean, for the locker room, like, he would definitely be a good kind of like mentor for, I mean, JK and Gus for sure, and Justice. He's a proven pro, former all pro guy. Mm-hmm. But I mean, realistically, like, do we want to keep four running backs? Because like, Justice Hill is an awesome special teams guy. So yep. You really have that third running back already in the mold and a special teams guy. So in that case, you have to carry four running backs. Plus, are you carrying, how many tight ends are you carrying? And then plus Ricard. So
Ben Mason.
That came out of nowhere. Jeez. But yeah, I appreciate the case, Kyle. Like, I mean, you're definitely the minority. People making a case for him. I was a big Todd Gurley guy a couple of years ago. He was so fun to watch. It's sad to see. But we'll see. I don't think he's gonna definitely come to Baltimore unless he really wants to just come back home, kind of thing.
Opportunity to championship. Opportunity to fight for a role. Prove that you're still worthy of playing in the NFL. And if you are, you can play with one of. You can play on the best, running teams in the NFL. Baltimore Ravens. Kick some butt, hometown, make a little bit of coin, and don't have a starting role. Like, he doesn't have to go out there and try and be this battering ram like Steven Jackson was for the Rams all those times ago, where you just lean on him. He doesn't have to be this guy that gets 20, 25 carries on an offense. Like, he's this spellback, which is a talented spellback at that, and be able to make some plays.
Come here, retire, and then open up a car dealership and just let the money work for you. That's what I'm saying.
At Eastern Motors.
Cars for kids.
Because let's say I'm not from Maryland. So what is he? Was he like insane in high school? Like, is he like a well-known?
He didn't even go to high school here. He like grew up. What? No. So he was a kid here and then.
Okay.
He's from here originally, and then he moved to North Carolina for high school, I think, which is kind of how he got that Georgia connection. But yeah, he's always been very vocal about how much he liked it here. Even going back to like when the Rams were on Hard Knocks, I think he might have been in his second year at that point. And he even talked about it then, how much he loved it here. So it'll be great. Mm.
Okay.
You know who was insane? Another Rams player, Tavon Austin at Dunbar, I believe.
Fucking. Oh yeah. Oh my god.
That guy. Top 10 people. Yep.
What could have been?
He's a Baltimore guy as well. Mitch McGee. What are the chances Ronnie isn't available week one? I am not a doctor, so I don't know. even if he is available week one and he plays, like, I would caution people to like think that he's just going to be Ronnie Stanley, like a lockdown Tyron Smith light again, like right away. Like, it's going to take some time to get used to an injury like that, I think.
You just come in here. He's 110%. He's feeling great. He's just going to be perfect, guys. Obviously, I don't see why you guys believe anything else.
Tough scene. I mean, like, it's going to be – there's going to be some tweets and some takes about Ronnie Stanley to open.
It's going
to
be
It's going to be
waiting
exhausting.
Through the Twitter sphere on that one's going to suck.
And it's like, he's going to have a bad game against the Chiefs, and they're going to get fucking blown out by the Chiefs. And we're going to have a podcast that night, and I'm going to be swimming in tequila or whatever my drink of choice is that night. I don't know. But it's just going to be a repeat of where we were last year in week two. And it's not going to be fun, and Ronnie Stanley's going to have a bad game. Lamar's going to like throw a pick or two, and we're just going to be right back to MF and square one. And I'm not looking forward to it.
I'm glad you're already starting the July talk. We're going to get smoked. I'm glad we're getting the good karma going here. Talking about just getting smoked.
Brother, I've been on that block since the schedule came out.
I've listened to you in Spain since the schedule came out. I love that.
Thanks for reminding me that's coming up.
I'm gonna be in Chicago, actually, after week one, and then I'm getting back that Sunday when they play that Sunday night. So I'm going to have mad Sunday scaries, and I'm going to have to watch that game. And then record a podcast.
That's going to be a lot of Sunday scaries.
It's going to be awful. It's going to be terrible. So
Oh man, I'm gonna be on the East Coast for that. I'm pretty. It's a night game, isn't it?
Yeah. So I'm flying back that day.
I'm gonna be up to like eight. I'm gonna be up to like eight a.m. I think I have to write. I've been doing. I'm scheduled to do late for work articles on Monday mornings, and like I've been informed, like Monday morning late for work is like a grind.
So you can't
like,
be.
I feel that's like a prime. That's like the prime.
It's a good one. Yeah, but like, watch it be like after the Ravens get blown out by the Chiefs in week two, and it's gonna be. Just slogging through the takes.
You're
going
to be up all night doing that one.
Yeah.
After the game. Damn.
And I'm going to be on the East Coast where it's like actually 2 hours ahead.
Yeah.
That was my advantage of living here on the East Coast. True. Not on the East Coast in mountain time. It was like, I'm 2 hours behind. So like, while everybody was going to bed, it's 2 a.m.
It was you and me after that Chiefs game in week three last year, wasn't it?
Just, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that was.
Don't take this personal, but I didn't know mountain time was still a thing. I thought they just got rid of mountain time.
What? What?
I didn't know they still had mountain time. I thought it just went straight to West Coast.
Are you aware of what's going on in the great state of Arizona?
Arizona has like
they don't do daily.
They have like their own.
That's new to me too. I did not know.
They say you guys figure it out and call us at the appropriate time.
That's awesome.
I'm not kidding. That's actually what my I have family that live in Arizona. I was like, what do you like do with the time zone change when there is change, when there's not? And they're like, we tell everybody else to figure it out let us know when things are going down.
That's honestly kind of sick. I could get down with that. I could move out there and be good with
Arizona
that.
Was one of the curious cases of where I was going to move post-grad.
Yeah, I would enjoy that. It's just like, you're just going to have to, conform to me and my schedule.
Yeah. And then I stumbled instead into Owings Mills, Maryland. Here I come.
Buddy, that's, as you know, just a hop, skip, and a jump, not even a hop, skip, and a jump from where I'm at right now. So
I know. I'm pretty excited. I'm going to show up, crush you in Mario Golf, and crush you in beers. It's going
to
be great.
Perhaps we'll go to Harriman House again.
We just might. It's a nice you never know.
G Fritz, 410-801. If Andrews wants to be the highest paid tight end, will the Ravens sign him? It's a dicey one.
That's a dicey one.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm jumping on this first. I don't think so. It's that's expensive. That is expensive to do. I mean, right now, George Kittle is the most, is the highest paid tight end, $15 million a year. You got 75, $40 million guaranteed, which is absolutely insane, especially for Kittle, who like is frequently injured because he just plays one of the most violent games of a tight end since Rob Gronkowski. I don't think he's deserving to be paid more than Travis Kelce, who did take a pay cut to stick with the Chiefs because, they have just such an arsenal of weapons over there. And he loved, why wouldn't he want to take a little bit of a pay cut to keep playing with Patrick Mahomes and just rack in the numbers and not get called for offensive pass interferences? I think that's I don't think that the Ravens are going to want to pay him more than probably right around Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith's territory. That's third and fourth in the NFL, respectively. Both of them being paid the same amount, 12.5 AAV. Hunter Henry got $25 million guaranteed. Jonnu Smith got $31.25 million guaranteed. That's a lot of money. I think Andrews is worth around 12.5 right now. I would be okay with the Ravens paying him that. I bet he's going to want to get paid a little bit more. He's the fourth best tight end in the NFL, I would say. There is Travis Kelce is one. George Kittle is two, and he's almost a tier below. Number three is going to be Darren Waller, and fourth is going to be Mark Andrews. I think that's how it operates. Mark Andrews scores a lot of touchdowns. George Kittle doesn't score a lot of touchdowns, but he's damn good at what he does. He's great at blocking. He's great at receiving, and he does everything really well. But I don't think if he wants $15+ million a year that the Ravens can afford him, with everybody else also needing to get paid.
The Raiders really hit the lottery on Darren Waller, man. They his contract is insane now. What they're getting from him for the price they got, but yeah, it's tough. Like so 12 for Henry and Jonnu. I mean, realistically, he probably will get more. Or should get more than those guys for sure. But yeah, like anything more than 14, it would be a lot. Like. Mm-hmm. Andrews is great, man. He's the security blanket for sure. Like, I really hope they can really work something out because Lamar without Andrews would really suck.
I think they're going to work it out.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's going to be, if he's going to if he's going to take a discount, like whatever, how much that would be. I just think they're going to work it out. Like, I just think that like he's been too good over the last couple of years, and they picked him over Hayden Hurst. I mean, ostensibly they did that. Hayden Hurst left, and I think they love him. I think Lamar loves him. And it kind of ties into G Fritz's next question, which is a lot of guys are going to get paid over the next few years. Do you see Hollywood extending? And I'm going to say no. I think they choose Andrews over Hollywood. Even if Lamar's like wants Hollywood to stick around, I think like you got to pick one. And I think they're going to stick with Andrews.
Right.
I think something that really kind of came in as a blessing, though it doesn't feel like it, is Orlando Brown Jr. leaving the Ravens because he wanted to play left tackle, because that was a guy that was going to command a lot of money from the Ravens, and they would have wanted to pay him because, you know, you put two bookend tackles at left and right for your franchise quarterback, and you got blockers there for the next, you know, X amount of years. You know, they loved Ronnie, they loved Orlando Brown Jr., and like not having to pay Brown Jr. what he was going to ask for and what he's getting paid now allows you to be a little bit more flexible with the money. And I think that's where the Ravens have the opportunity to extend both Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews, but it's going to be tight. It's going to be close. I think they do manage to work out an extension with him because I think they really like him. Mm-hmm. And I think that if he's not going to ask for number one money, if he's going to ask for number two money, you know, he's not proven himself to be Antonio Brown. He hasn't proven himself to be Stephon Diggs. He hasn't been one of those types of players, but he is a really good number two receiver. You know, he's the exact kind of guy that you want as your number two, paired with somebody like Sammy Watkins. And hopefully we see that this season. But I think there's a likelihood of him receiving an extension and working something out.
I think what works in the favor of the Ravens, like obviously they're a run first team, so he hasn't put up the crazy numbers where you can say like, I deserve this amount of money. Like Jake said, like obviously Lamar would definitely want Hollywood to stick around for sure, because that's his guy, and he really pretty much handpicked him, right? Over everyone else in that draft. But yeah, it'll be interesting because he has a fifth year option, so he'll at least be here for two more years, right? This is his third year, so next year, and then they had the fifth year. I think they would definitely fifth year him. They give him the option, and then we'll see like what he'll definitely command. But yeah, and to your point, Kyle, too, about Orlando Brown, like Ryan Ramchick just got 98 mil from the Saints. Like who knows what the hell he's going to get? Orlando Brown's going to get now. Like he's probably going to ask or kind of around there. Even though Ramchick is definitely probably better, I assume, because he's been amazing for so long in the Saints. But yeah, that's a really good point. Like, I definitely sucks getting in Orlando, but we saved a good chunk of change where we should be able to play Andrews, what he wants or what he needs, and get Lamar back too, and then maybe Hollywood as well. So
over the cap has Orlando Brown's 2020 over the cap evaluation at around $11.1 million, and I assume he was going to ask for a little bit more than that, and that's even being it lowballed right there. Yeah. That's still saving $11 million Ravens no longer have to pay. And I think you can afford somebody else with that. You know, they're paying Alejandro Villanueva, so they had to cover that up, of course. And they did so with, around $7 million, $9 million, I think is what it was. Yeah, it's $9.2 million. So, like, they were able to figure that out and work something together to make things a little bit more cheap on that end. But that's still money that they don't have to pay Orlando Brown Jr., that they can work into other areas, including an extension with, you know, one of Lamar Jackson's primary targets in the offense.
And I think too, like if say the Chiefs sign Orlando Brown, they re-sign him. If the Ravens don't re-sign Mark Andrews, I don't know what the hell. Like that doesn't make any sense. Like they better, if the Chiefs somehow are going to sign Orlando Brown after they just trade for him and have no money with everyone, all they have to pay. The Ravens better figure it out with Mark Andrews, because that'll be not a good look at all if that's like the case.
Yeah.
Our young king, Zeej Batman, absolutely emptied the clip. He's got five questions here. So the first one, it's been a while since we did a mailbag, so I think he was excited to just absolutely, Lord have mercy, I'm about to bust all over this. So edge group ceiling and floor this season. Edge group.
Floor.
Ceiling, top 10, top 5 maybe. You know, suddenly, you know, Odafe Owe is this dominant edge player, and the Ravens, you know, hit the nail on the head with him being this incredibly talented, fast twitch guy that didn't get sacks in college for, you know, a little bit of unlucky reasons, more so than like he didn't have the inability, because we know that he has an ability to get after the quarterback. He did so at Penn State. He just didn't get the sacks, unfortunately, you know, due to circumstances, you know, maybe, you know, he just didn't get there just quite enough, or he had to take a wider angle and stuff. But all of a sudden, say that guy comes in and just crushes it, and Tyus Bowser still performing extremely well in coverage, and he's, you know, getting mixed in with Pernell McPhee getting sacks. I think, excuse me, top 10 is possible, but the floor is like you could have just a really bad team. Like, unfortunately, like a rookie kid comes in, like Odafe Owe, and he just isn't capable of getting the playbook. Tyus Bowser has a starting role, struggles. Pernell McPhee's over the, you know, over the hill a little bit, and Jalen Ferguson can't step up in yet another season with the Ravens. Like, that's unfortunately what could happen. If you want to be realistic, the floor is really low. The ceiling can be high, but, you know, you got a lot of unproven talent. Calais Campbell believes in the young players. He's stated so and said that, like, they're going to have to lean on the young guys, and there's a plethora of talent there. But, you know, there could be a really low floor for this team.
Yeah, I don't have a ton to add other than like ceiling and floor. So I think you guys kind of nailed that. I like this one. Over under on Watkins games played. I'm going to set it at 9.5. I'm going to go over. I think Sammy Watkins' injury issue is not going to be a series this season as people are anticipating. It kind of feels like everyone is riding the wave that like he's obviously going to miss, you know, 8 games. I'm gonna go over 9.5. What do you guys think? 9.5 over under Sammy Watkins games.
I'm gonna say over 2. I he's the week one king. I don't know if you guys know that as well, but he's every single week one he blows up.
Yep.
Was it 2 years ago? He had that game versus Jacksonville with like 200 yards.
Nick Foles. Yeah.
The Nick Foles game. Yeah, we got fucking banged up. But I think Watkins, the injury bug, I think, has left Kansas City. I think it's not following up to here to Baltimore. I'm going to say over 9.5 as well.
He's only played fewer than 9.5 games one time in his career. 2016, he only played 8. So I think you set the bar a little bit low on this one. I'm definitely taking the over as well. He played 16, 13, 8, 15, 10, 14, 10. I think like 10.5 or 11 games I'd be a little bit more cautious on. But overall, I think it's the over at 9.5.
Yeah, I think as far as general Q rating, it kind of feels like people are expecting half a season. So maybe with the numbers kind of supporting the over there, I like
so that. 17 games instead of 16. So, you know, you got to add a little bit there.
Sure. Does Amon Marshall get traded for something like a 6th rounder is the third question. I'm going to say no. I think they like their cornerbacks and they're going to hang on to him. Young guy, promising, want to see something from him. Hopefully he can get over this injury issue.
I am going to argue against that. I haven't seen a whole lot from him. The Ravens just drafted 2 cornerbacks in this draft, Brandon Stevens and Sean Wade. You know, they like their corners. They re-signed Jimmy Smith. They have Anthony Levine. Like, this is a team that is trying to stick with who they got. And I don't know if Iman Marshall makes the roster this year.
Mm.
Yeah. Iman Marshall, honestly, his name has like left my brain. Like he was a rookie last year, right? From USC.
2 years ago.
Is it 2 years ago now? Wow. Has he even played? Like, I don't even remember him seeing on the field ever.
Nope.
So they're not going to get a 6th round pick. Definitely not. So it's
in 3 games.
I agree with Kyle. He's probably
gonna in 2019. He played 3 games.
Yeah.
Then he follows up with his 4th question. Do we finally get another 1,000-yard season from a pass catcher this year? I'm going to say yes, and it's going to be Mark Andrews.
Ooh. I'm going to say yes. It's Marquise Brown. And the
17th game is that's a big part of that, I think.
Yeah, the 17th game is quite possibly a reason why.
Yeah. I'm just going to be different, and he's my guy. I'm going Rashad Bateman.
Ooh, that's spicy.
Oh, man. 1,000-yard rookie receiver for the Ravens.
I don't think Ravens fans would be able to handle if Rashad Bateman.
No, nope.
So he would explode. Like, oh, my God.
It'd be all over.
Shout out to his family. his last one here. Sopranos prequel movie. You guys Sopranos guys at all?
Unfortunately not.
Unfortunately, I'm a huge HBO guy. I just haven't dove into Sopranos yet.
Buddy, it's worth it. And
I know.
This prequel movie.
The ending's fire.
Yeah. The Saints of New York. What is it called?
Many Saints of Newark. And it's a prequel about young Tony Soprano and Michael Gandolfini, the son of James Gandolfini, who played Tony Soprano. Michael Gandolfini is going to play the young Tony Soprano, which is kind of sick.
He looks so much like that actor. So is his son?
Yeah.
Okay, they're like, why is that the guy? Kid looks so like that actor. Okay, all right, that makes sense.
Yeah, so very excited for that. Glad to hear Zeke Batman is excited for that, and just absolutely emptied the clip on the questions there. Appreciate that, buddy. Always good to hear from you. Adam Jones, 357, the 5-time Gold Glover. How much better do you see the pass game being? Lamar Leap 2.0. Defining Leap, I think a lot of people think about statistics, and I think I say this a lot, but I'm going to reiterate that you can't really look at the passing game through the lens of statistics. I think it's going to be a lot more efficient. So higher in DVOA, maybe top 6 to 10 type DVOA, and it's just going to look better from the eye test, especially with the first half of the season, how they look kind of sluggish and kind of uncoordinated in the pass game. I don't think it's going to be like that. I think it's going to be more consistent, more in sync. I think Rashad Bateman is going to be very good. I don't know if I'm going to do the Mike hanging some onion with the 1,000-yard season, but I think he's going to be damn good addition. I think Sam Watkins, I'm going to call him Sam. I think he's going to be really good as well. And Nick Boyle will bounce back. Mark Andrews is going to be great again. There's just a lot of good options. So I'm excited for this passing offense.
I don't think there's going to be this huge, like, crazy leap, but I see the, you know, Lamar throwing probably 3,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, and maybe he throws an extra pick or two and goes like 31 in 10 or 30 and 11 for picks. He did a career high of 9 last season. So like maybe, you know, 17th game, he throws another one, or, you know, I'm putting a lot on the 17th game, I'm realizing, but like it's such a unique attribute that we have heading into this new season, is like all of a sudden there's just a bonus game. But I think Lamar will throw for another 3,000 yards like he did in 2019, and I think overall, like, he'll throw 30 touchdowns this year with just more pass catchers, more receivers. J.K. Dobbins maybe out of the backfield or something. They incorporate more of a short safety valve threat like we saw with Ray Rice and Joe Flacco back in the early days as well.
Yeah, I just think like it comes down to Sammy Watkins is better than Willie Snead. And Rashad Bateman is way better than Miles Boykin. Just those upgrades, those two upgrades specifically, and like Jake's point, it'll be more efficient. Like, I don't think Lamar will go over 4,000 yards probably not, but I think just more efficiency. It'll just look better. Like not frustrated with drops. Like, definitely a lot smoother process for sure.
Three tones. With Lamar being under center a little more this year, what does that open up for the playbook? This is another one where it's like schematically, we can't give you as much without Spencer here, but I think it's a thing where people kind of make a big deal about it, but it's not that unfamiliar to him. He's coming from Bobby Petrino's system in Louisville, which is pro style, a lot of single back under center type stuff that you're talking about there. So he's not like totally unfamiliar with it. And they did it, I think, a decent amount last year. If Spencer were here, he would pull up the numbers. I think we even have talked about this recently. So I think it's something that I'm excited about to see how they implement, because I think you're going to have a strong running game still with Dobbins and Edwards. So if that opens up like bootleg play action, cut the field in half and have like levels with Mark Andrews, Hollywood Brown on top of one another, and Lamar with an option to run it himself as well, I think that's going to be very beneficial.
Who's stopping this offense?
Who's stopping this offense? And then like the other teams with like fucking Juju, TJ Watt, you know, emoji 45-20 is going to say like, oh, well, the Steelers, like, oh yeah, really creative response. like, come on, PFF.
So with them being under center, there's more opportunity there for play action. And I think that's just a little bit more critical here, because the Ravens offense is predicated on a lot of motion. as we've heard from Spenny a lot. And they do motion in the top two, I think, of the NFL. I think like the Rams competed with them for most last year. But overall, this Ravens offense being predicated on a heavy run game that can also have more pass catchers and more NFL caliber players overall. Like, there's just more opportunity here. There's more potential. You know, I talk about potential in production a lot, and you just see a lot of potential here with this Ravens offense.
I'm not gonna lie, I missed a question, but I think.
And then he proceeds to like try to answer.
I just want to add on to the pass catching. We forgot to mention Patrick Ricard. We saw what he can do if he's the focus of a drive in the Titans game. So we forgot to mention him. So I'll just throw that out there.
Okay.
What about Ben Mason?
I do want to see like a lineup with like Ricard, Mason, Boyle, and Andrews, like those four.
You want the thick boy offense.
A thick boy offense. And Lamar, him and just like a direct snap to Lamar and those four guys like doing something like that.
I don't even want Lamar on the field. I want it Ben Mason, Pat Ricard, Nick Boyle.
It's true, yeah.
And Gus Edwards. All right, Spenny, Jake, get us along here.
How long do you think before Lamar and Bateman start clicking? I think they're going to click pretty quickly. I think Bateman, pro ready, running crispy, buttery routes. He's just he's looking good, man. In some of these videos I've seen, Lamar seems very impressed with him. And I think Lamar himself, who in that draft reaction video clearly had no idea who Rashad Bateman was, I think he's starting to get a little impressed with what he's seeing. And this is a guy who...
Here's a guy.
It's just, you know, he's pro ready. And he's a lot of, you know... This is a little lofty as of right now, but, you know, some diet Keenan Allen comparisons being made maybe. So I think that's going to be very helpful for a quarterback who likes to throw over the middle with some good route running. I'm excited.
Yeah, no, I love that comp, Jake. Like, I just visually wise, just like aesthetically wise, he reminds me so much of Keenan Allen. Like, that's like very high praise, but just like I've been watching him so much like during the draft process and prior. He's just so smooth, man. Like you guys hit on it all the time, like Spenny does too. But he's just the Ravens have not had a pro ready wide receiver type like Rashad Bateman ever. Like they've never had this type of guy before. And yeah, I think immediately, dude. I think he really steps in day one, week one, first couple weeks. He's gonna have some big games for sure, like 100%. So he's the guy, the prince who's promised. That's it's Spenny's words.
Yeah. Woof. Hopefully it works out a little better.
Let's just hope it, yeah. Jake beat me to it. All right, you win. Next.
Ryan J. Laurie, the men in black have come to erase your memory. They're letting you keep one Ravens memory. Which one? I like that. I'm going to say, everyone would maybe say the Mile High Miracle from our generation. I might say the same thing, but I would probably say Super Bowl 47 because, like, that's kind of just the culmination point of that. It is the addendum to it, and that is what you were working towards. And everyone loves a Super Bowl win. So I'm going to go Super Bowl 47. And that was a great game in its own right, too, holding off the 49ers at the last minute there. Jimmy Smith getting up in Crabtree's grill and just making the play, man. And then Sam Cook with the tremendous job to dance around in the end zone like a, prime Mr. Kelly, just, you know, tap dancing around. They're holding the guys like Harbaugh's instructing them to hold them because, like, it doesn't matter. You're going to get a safety anyway. Kit to Ted Ginn, it's over. Flacco says tackle Ted Ginn if he breaks the line. He's not actually going to do that, of course, but, you know.
You do it.
Yeah, well, I will. I'm going to. And then, you know, he gets tackled. So, yeah, Super Bowl 47, a lot of great memories.
You know, I was thinking about the Mile High Miracle as well, and I just remember just Torrey Smith won, cooking Champ Bailey on the outside twice, and then the back and forth. But, like, That game shouldn't have been close. Trindon Holiday spotted them 14 points with a kick return and a punt return. Like, it's so weird to remember that because everybody's like, man, the Broncos should have won that game. It's like the offense scored half as much as the Ravens did because, you know.
Ravens with a pick six by Corey Graham. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's interesting.
It's weird to consider, but I think I still go Mile High because that game overall was just insane.
That's the, like, it's going the best into, game. It's the best game I've ever watched. Like
they just they got clobbered by them earlier in the season. Like absolutely clobbered by them. We have the photo of Joe Flacco like laying down in the face down on the turf after throwing like a really bad pick in the red zone.
Yeah.
And just watching that game unfurl was, as we know, iconic. It was spectacular. It was game of destiny. You know, it truly was like the game of destiny. Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, these guys just going in and performing and coming out into double overtime with a Justin Tucker rookie undrafted free agent kicker hitting.
He's real. He's a real person.
Hitting in the absolute frozen Mile High Stadium. Just wild. You got to go Mile High for me.
To hit off those two, I'll go with the game in the middle, and it's the game versus the Patriots, AFC Championship. Just because the sentiment, because we were there a year, literally just 1 year prior, and the guy who shouldn't be named, who's not a real person, the kicker for our team then, ruined it. Obviously, Lee Evans ruined it first, but then we went back the next year, finally the monkey off our back. And like, I feel like, I don't know if you guys thought the same way, but I like once we beat the Patriots, like I thought like we're going to win the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah.
And I think, and like we started off like, I mean, that game, obviously we can talk about this for hours, the blackout, but like that we started off like that we should have been a blowout, but yeah, the Patriots game. And then one play I'll never forget, is not relevant to that Super Bowl run, but the pick six Ed Reed had versus the Dolphins in that wild card game where he like went Willie Mays and then like zigzagged with Helodinata like decleating. I think it was like a Ted Ginn was like one of the probably like the best play I'll always remember about Ed Reed. So those are those.
You mentioned like when the Ravens beat the Patriots, you were just like the Super Bowl's locked up. Like it was like akin to, I don't know if you guys are hockey fans, but like when you watched the Capitals finally beat the Penguins in the second round and they'd been like cursed in the second round and they like went off and faced against the Lightning and like Alex Ovechkin all of a sudden is just like on this horrifyingly terrifying Russian tear. And John Cooper, like the coach of the team, he's playing like he's trying to make up for all the lost times that he hasn't been in the third round of the playoffs. Like, I saw that with the Broncos game. Like when they beat the Broncos, I was like, this team just faced the ultimate test of adversity. Like there's no way the Patriots are winning this game. Even when the Ravens were down at halftime, I was like, the Ravens are winning this game against the Patriots. Like, I was like, I have so much confidence just because like I've seen them battle through things. I've seen them compete and like it's all over. Like this team is doing it.
I get nervous and jacked up going into like a week 2, 1 p.m. Sunday game. And like going into that Super Bowl, I was like at my most zen, like Joe Rogan flow state of all time. I was like, yeah, they're gonna win. Like of course they're gonna win. Like, did you see what just happened the previous 2 weeks? Mike, were you at that game? The Foxborough game?
No, I've been to two Ravens Patriots games at Gillette, but they're both regular season. I was actually my freshman year of college, that Super Bowl run. So that was the most like insane.
It was my original freshman year of college.
I was a senior in high school.
Yeah.
So,
memories. Yeah, my senior high school was freaking 2011 Billy Cundiff.
Tough scene.
I had to go to school the next day with all Patriots fans. Ripped. All my buddies. That was freaking rough.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Our boy Nico, any chance Gus takes the RB1 role over Dobbins? I think they're probably going to have like 60-40 in favor of Dobbins. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe a little bit more towards JK, but JK, he's just so fun to watch. That's my whole article on him.
Rye W, thoughts on the team breaking down Crabs? Who looked the best and who looked the worst? So we're in an interesting spot with this one. I don't know if you guys watched the whole video, but of the three here, I'm the Crab guy, and I didn't watch the whole video. So I saw Hollywood kind of breaking them with his teeth, which was gnarly and kind of made me respect him a lot more.
Yeah, that was good.
That was sick. Lamar kind of Lamar making a joke about like the yellow stuff, which everyone hates. I saw snippets of it, but not the whole thing. But I like what I saw from Hollywood. I'll say that.
I didn't watch it, unfortunately. Yeah, I saw it pull up on my screen, and I was running around today. so I missed it.
Ravens Twitter was like on fire for that. Like, did like people like get offended from Maryland? Like, they were like, no one had to know what to do.
Like, it's not an offense thing, but Marylanders like love breaking down like the crab technique to people that like that aren't familiar with it. It's like, oh, like here's what you do. You take the knife to the middle and then you like crack it from there. And then you pull it open and then you take each leg and like you do that whole thing. So yeah, I love crabs personally. It's a lot of work. I think like Tyler Wallace said, it's a lot of work to not get that much meat, which I think makes sense. So maybe you prefer a little bit of a crab cake. I also love a soft shell crab. I've said that on here. Shout out to Jim Halpert. His favorite food is a soft shell crab. So yeah, it's an interesting dynamic where you got all these three different options, but I still enjoy the nice novelty, putting the newspapers down, cracking crabs and drinking Natty Bows.
Love it.
I can't wait to go back and get a Natty Bow.
2 weeks, you said.
2.5 weeks.
There we go. K-Brick 2. Does Roman last the season, or does he get canned if the offense is underperforming? I think there's a chance he does, but they're going to have to be like severely underperforming. Like
it's really hard for him to lose his job. Yeah, this team's really good. And he's like, he schemes up a lot of great plays, and it's not all him. It's not all Lamar. Like, we've said this so much. It's like, it's not as much on him as you think, but it's also not on not on anybody as much as you think. Like, it's just this lack of cohesion sometimes between play calling, between performing the play, between like the offensive line giving Lamar adequate time, between Lamar making the right reads, between the wide receivers getting open. Like, it was just a culmination of a lot of things. And like, yeah, sometimes, you know, Greg Roman doesn't call the right plays. And like, no coach is perfect in play calling. Like, even Andy Reid was like really bad with like play calling and time management and clock management for well over a decade with the Eagles. And he still struggles sometimes with the Chiefs. Like, no coaching group is going to be perfect in that instance. So I think he actually lasts this year. I do.
I do too. I think they're going to be better too. So I think that's going to help his case. Lee Brick 5, Boykins or Prochet? I've been saying Boykin for a while. It might still be my personal opinion, but we talked to Jonah Schaefer of the Baltimore Sun recently, and he said that they like love Prochet in the building. So yeah, like for their purposes, probably Prochet right now, but I personally prefer Boykin.
Jerry Rice Prochet 2. I'm going with Boykin.
I remember I was listening to that Jonas episode, and they said he was like the first guy out in the slot. I mean, that was just like obviously the first like random OTA day, but like it's very intriguing that he's very high up there recognition wise. But I mean, Boykin with his blocking ability and special teams, like as a gunner kind of guy, is big. But also Prochet has that with returning ability too. So I'd maybe go Boykin, but I love Prochet, so it's tough.
I'm going Boykin.
Githens Mazer, what about signing DeCastro as right guard security? I think they already made that move in Zeitler, so probably not. And I think they just kind of want to roll with what they have. And DeCastro can probably do better starting job and money-wise.
Right. Oh, my gosh. I totally forgot they had Kevin Zeitler on the team when I mentioned earlier about right guard with like Kelechi Osemele when we were talking about that almost 2 hours ago now. So whoops.
On well, he one. Played so, – Kelechi played left guard, though, because they had Yonda at the time. But he wasn't right sense. Tackle.
Yeah, I said that they were uncertain about right guard though, but I definitely meant left guard because that's where Bozeman has rotated from left to.
Do you think? There's a lot of money to be made in a potential deodorant to say that we're the left guard?
No,
you don't think that's a money idea?
No,
I would bring that to Old Spice.
That feels like a left guard. We're like the bad boys of deodorant as opposed to right guard. And we're going to like advertise on podcasts and like do that.
All right, folks. Thank you very much for tuning into the Bond.
We're 2 hours in. I mean, like you're listening to the second episode right now, but this is two.
Yeah, whoever is on this one still. That's a good question.
Tweet at Jake Luke, your favorite ramen flavor if you listened this far into the podcast.
Listen, I'll take them. I like all ramen. B-Rose 931. Who is the most underrated Raven, past and present? I vote Peter Boulware and Jimmy Smith. I think Jimmy's turning into a little bit of a hipster pick where it's like everyone's talking about Jimmy being underrated, so he's kind of like, is he that underrated? I'm going to go, I think Nick Boyle's a little underrated. That guy has turned into quite a good pass catcher. great run blocking. And for my past, I feel like Corey Graham's another hipster pick. I might say him, probably not. That's a good question. I'm going to go Justin Forsett. People don't talk about Justin Forsett enough and that great season in 2014. Love Justin Forsett.
Love that.
Looking through a little bit of the names right now, somebody that comes to mind as like underrated, I think Jamal Lewis, like people don't like newer age fans don't quite remember what Jamal Lewis was to this team. You know, he had a 2,000 yard season.
Yeah.
He was utterly dominant. And it's like crazy to think that like he's not even remembered all that well for his performance. He scored 58 touchdowns. You know, he rushed for over 10,000 yards in his career. He had a 2,000 yard season. Like he was utterly dominant. And it's strange to know that, like, you know, he even had the longest, the most rushing yards in a single game until Adrian Peterson, I think, eclipsed that mark. 290s, he had 295 before Peterson at 296, I believe, in a game. Like Jamal Lewis is definitely undervalued just because like the game has changed so much, and that's where we're at. I was gonna say Chris McAllister, but I think a lot of Ravens fans know just how, you know, great of a player he was for the Ravens throughout his tenure.
Yeah, I have a name that like didn't really do much like towards the middle, like the kind of the end of the Jeff Flacco era, but a guy who's I thought pretty well. And we mentioned him earlier on the like this is probably a day ago on the podcast at this point, but Darryl Smith, I thought was really underrated when he was here. He was really good. Because that was Cedermo's rookie year, right? When he was here.
He was his rookie year. It might have been his second year, but yeah.
I thought he was really good. And then Curran as well. Yeah, you made a good point on Boyle. He's pretty much a sixth offensive lineman like on the field every time. So I think that's a good call with Boyle. He's just so underrated. And receiving-wise, too. He's improved every year.
I think you could make a case for Brandon Williams. Yeah. Not to some people, like he gets really hammered on by some people, and then he also gets heralded highly, like too highly by others. And I think like trying to find a middle ground for him is really difficult to do sometimes for fans, because like what he contributes in run defense is really tough to calculate and to quantify. So he sometimes just gets roped into like, oh, he doesn't do anything. He's just like a run stuffer and you don't need to care about the run in the NFL anymore. But at the same point, like when he's out, he's noticeably out against other NFL teams because all of a sudden the run game kind of collapses around him.
Is that Voss's favorite player, right?
Yes. Oh, his favorite player in NFL history is Brandon Williams.
That's about that. Yeah. Okay.
Definitely. Yeah, we just can't shut him up about how much value that guy brings to the team and how his contract is so worth it. Joe Boken, Nings JC. I think he kind of asked about this earlier, so he's probably getting closer to the bachelor party. He says, top three stops for Baltimore bachelor party. I guess I have to answer that one.
I don't got it.
Guinness
Fed Hill, Inner Harbor, Bertha's Muscles.
Sure. Yeah. So I was going to say plenty of good restaurants in the Inner Harbor. So check that out. A lot of good spots in there. There's like oyster spots and all that kind of stuff. Anything you can choose from. So choose a good restaurant downtown. If you're doing golf, there's plenty of good public golf. Do Guinness Factory for sure, because that is a scene. And that's only been around for a couple years. It's a really nice spot. Do the Guinness Factory. And then, if you're looking to do another brewery situation, there's plenty of good breweries as well. So, check all that stuff out. Maybe go to Jimmy's if you want to get the touristy kind of seafood experience. Love Jimmy's. There's a lot of good things to do. And then And then he says, two fullbacks or trade PP. I think he means Project Pat there. So it's they're going to keep them both. Ben Mason's going to be a tight end.
Ben Mason! I guarantee
that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday.
It's just a death match between those two. Last one. Robbie McAwesome. When did Pat Ricard last take a snap on defense? Any defensive snaps anticipated this year? Kyle, can you pull up the...
That's a good question.
The old machine there for Pat Ricard.
Say that one more time. So sorry.
When did Pat Ricard last take a snap on defense? Any defensive snaps anticipated this year?
I doubt he's looked at for any defensive snaps this year.
He's really just transitioned into becoming a fullback at this point. I don't even know why Pro Football Reference is still titling him in this position as a defensive end. That doesn't make any sense. I'm trying to find when he's last played defense, and
that'd be since his rookie year, maybe
2020. He has a fumble recovery on defense.
Oh yeah, that sounds right. Maybe
in 2019 he had a sack. He had a sack in 2019, apparently. So maybe I'm wrong. Defensive snaps. He didn't take a defensive snap in 2020 is what it's saying. So I don't know how he got a fumble recovery if he was on defense. But maybe like they forced a fumble and then the Ravens offense forced it back. And so that qualified. He took 140 snaps in 2019 as a defensive player, but did not take one according to Pro Football Reference in 2020. I don't expect him to be doing so, but maybe with the addition of Ben Mason.
Yeah. Incredible. Ridiculous.
They might just put Pat Ricard back on defense. Doubt it though. They got Matt Abike. They got other players. They got Dalen Hayes. You keep your fullback at fullback. No reason not to, especially with the calves that he's got, you know. We got in the Cavs talk.
In the myth.
It's funny because shout out to listener of the show, Evan. He's a very good listener. He was the guy who was going back and forth with him about that.
I know. He actually watches the Twitch streams too. Evan's a good one. He's actually a moderator on the Twitch stream. So Evan's a real one. And great on him for starting that up and thinking that he had the same Cavs structure as
That was a little Boseman. Little optimistic, kind of outlook.
A lot of cockiness there. That was a fun tweet thread though. And Ben Cleveland and Pat Ricard have some calves on them, man. So did Bradley. Oh my gosh, those guys! Shocker that professional athletes have muscles that are large.
And two friends of the show there, in Ricard and Boseman. And Boseman. So gotta get
Ben maybe Cleveland. We go for the hat trick with Cleveland this year.
I definitely think we have to get some.
We'll try our best.
Squirrel content in there.
The squirrel.
We'll try our best.
All right, gentlemen. We are out of questions.
We have eclipsed the 2-hour mark.
We have.
Doozy.
That is a doozy. Thank you guys for joining me here. A little impromptu situation with our sweet boy Spenny down in North Carolina. And if you're listening to this right now, that means I'm in Delaware. So it's vacation time around here. It's great. Woo! It's a great feeling.
It's packing time over here. Getting the house packed up. So I got boxes hidden behind me and everything. Packing up for the move, being Owings Mills on the East Coast, goofing off with you fellas here shortly, soon enough. I don't know about Mike, but definitely with Jake.
We'll get it done this fall.
We'll figure it out. We'll all meet up, eat some crab, crush
Mike,
some natty bows.
Just hopping your car. It's only like a 10-hour drive, Mike.
Where are you at?
I drive twice. It's only like 6 hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I made the drive twice.
Well, I'm doing the drive from Fort Collins, Colorado.
Dude, what is that?
I don't want to hear about anybody talking about any drives. This will be my fourth time doing this drive.
Sheesh.
Maybe my fifth, actually. It might be my fifth. Either way, I'm doing it this time in a U-Haul, towing a Jeep, too, at the same time. So I'm lugging it this year, boys. I'm doing the full extended exhausted trip. All
you
the
talk
way
about
out,
your so. Your Twitch stream. I think you're going to need to have a camera on you at all times for that, because a U-Haul carrying a Jeep with you behind the wheel is something that sounds like a real scene.
Hey, man, I'm good at Trackmania. I'm great at Rocket League. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, good point. I mean, it definitely translates.
Exactly.
But yeah, thanks for joining me, fellas. Anything else you got here for the listeners today?
No.
Have a good fourth. Enjoy the days off if you have them.
So this is going to be after the fourth. So I hope
you had a good fourth.
Never mind. I hope you enjoyed your fourth. I forgot the second one. Yeah, good call.
There you go. There you go. that's just me with the producer brain just working at all times. But
that was on it.
Yep. Appreciate you fellas joining me. Anything you want to plug before you get out of here, definitely throw your social media in there. Kyle, we'll start with you on this.
You can follow my Twitter account at @BB_KylePBarber. You can read most of my content now at BaltimoreBeatdown.com. And you can now read some of my work on baltimoreravens.com/late for work, late-for-work, I'm pretty sure is what it is. I'm going to be contributing on Mondays and Wednesdays. You can read that content there. As I am graciously accepting a position with the Baltimore Ravens today on July 1st, our day, but whenever these pods are out, it'll already be there. So make sure to check those out. And thank you guys for all your support.
Now, are you advocating that people actually be late for their job in order to read this? Or can you just read it regardless of your status?
Can read it regardless of status, but it's sponsored by Dunkin'. So get your Dunkies in, man. Get your Dunkies in.
Dunkin' Donuts. Donuts. Yeah, by the way, I'm probably going to have to not do that when Mike's on here. I don't want to offend anyone.
The Dunkin' King here up here in New England.
All right, buddy. Well, what's your social? Where can the people find you and your stuff?
Yeah. What do you got? So it's Ravens_Reed on Twitter. You can look at my JK article, the only one I'm beat down so far, but I'm in the works with another one. And hopefully once the season gets going, I'll be able to get some more going here. But yeah, Ravens_Reed, R-E-I-D. And I appreciate you guys having me on here. Hopefully the first of many going forward as well. So
absolutely, bud. Well, we appreciate you hopping on with us impromptu here. Hope you have yourself a great weekend, a great 4th, Kyle. I hope the same for you. Congratulations on your new position. And
thank you.
Mazel tov on the move, and can't wait to have you over here to continue the content in person.
It's going to be great.
Moving this thing forward.
It's going to be great.
It's going to get a lot better, I think.
Amen. I agree. All right. Thank you guys for having me on.
Cheers. Absolutely. All right, guys. Arrivederci.
Gourlami. Gourlami.
Arrivederci.
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 Arrivederci. Arrivederci.